Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Alan Sislowski here with Garrett Price from the Dynasty Nerds. We got him. He showed up, everybody. What's up, Garrett?
How's it going, man?
All right. So we're here to talk Dynasty on this live stream. You're getting a little preview because this podcast will be in the podcast feed on Saturday. So we're doing a little special Wednesday night edition. We don't do enough Dynasty talk over here, Garrett, and you guys just do it all year round. I mean, Dynasty obviously is your number one form of fantasy football that you love.
For sure. I love fantasy. I love Dynasty fantasy football. I tried to do just redraft for six, seven, 8 years I did that. And it was great. But the problem that you have with redraft is for most leagues, you have some high stakes, some really competitive ones that are awesome. But for the most part, you get to week five, six, seven, half the leagues have one win. They don't really care anymore. They're like, just take my $20 and go, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's the fun part about Dynasty is even when your team blows, there's always incentive to figure out other ways to build it, to trade, draft picks, all that kind of stuff.
So you fell into that thing where most Dynasty players fall into, where even like your first Dynasty teams, you kind of draft them like a redraft team. You get all these old guys. Did you screw up your first couple Dynasty teams?
I did, right away? Oh, here comes my kid. Hey, you got to go to bed.
See, that shows you the authenticity of the show. If you got to take a if you have to take a pause right here, it's no big deal.
No, you're good. They a lot of times like to sleep in the same bed. They're 2 years apart. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. They like to sleep sometimes together and sometimes apart. So they're in the same bed, but apparently they were arguing. So she's like, I'm going to go sleep in my own bed.
They heard the Dynasty talk and they knew that, you know, they were coming. So what I was asking you before that, though, is did you screw up your first couple of Dynasty teams like most of us?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a rite of passage in Dynasty fantasy football is to not understand. Like I legitimately remember, even more so than messing up my first draft, my first year, I was like, first round picks are stupid. My team's great. So like, these aren't important. So I'll just trade them to whoever to get a bunch of old guys and make sure that I can win right now. And so I legitimately remember I told one of my friends, I was like, I don't even know what I would do with these. Like, none of these guys are being my starting lineup this year anyway. So what do I even need these for? Like an idiot. So
I'm so glad you said that because I am still living with the pain of trading my first ever rookie pick for Niles Davis because I own Jamal Charles. So we've all done, but you saying that it makes me feel a little bit better.
Oh yeah. That was absolutely me, man. I shipped everything out of town.
Yeah. One of the biggest questions, we get a lot of Dynasty strategy questions on our message board. So what kind of Dynasty player, if you're going into a new startup, what's your general Dynasty philosophy?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to go about it. And it's generic. This part of the advice is very generic, but it's absolutely true. You've got to go best player available. You absolutely have to. And it's tempting to not do that because here's what's going to happen. You're going to go in the first round. Let's say you take a running back in the first round. And then your next five picks, the best player available is a wide receiver. And you're like, well, I need a tight end. I need a quarterback. I need another running back at some point. Like I can't just build a team full of wide receivers. still continue to take the best player available, because here's the thing. As the summer goes on, you have the ability to be able to trade. And what happens is you're going to take a player lower down the board. Let's say you took Ronald Jones this year in the sixth round of your startup because you absolutely needed to make sure you got a running back. When they're in the sixth round this year, a guy like Deebo Samuel could have been there. And you can always turn around and trade. Now, that would have been best case scenario. Obviously, he's wide receiver three right now. But there was plenty of wide receivers in that range. Cooper Kupp wasn't far from there. A lot of guys in that range where you could have ended up trading them in week four here, week five, and gotten an absolute haul and a way better running back than Ronald Jones. And so I think the biggest mistake people make is feeling like they have to fill out their starting lineup the first second they do their draft and not worrying about making trades and taking the best players that they can.
No, you said that right. I think like we all fall victim to that. We have to be very disciplined in our drafts, whereas, you know, you just want to check those boxes. Oh, I need an RB2. And you're right, because Deebo Samuel was a player that we looked at during the summer and we're like, he's fine. He gets hurt a lot. He was good when he came back. I mean, you know, I know you guys particularly like Deebo Samuel, but I'm saying most that the sentiment.
There was real concerns about Brandon Ayuk being the top guy. What are we going to do with George Kittle there? Like, there were some legitimate concerns. So I understand why people would be hesitant to do it. But if you believe that they are the best player out there, you got to go get those guys.
Yeah, the overlords here at RotoWire are going to be mad at me because I didn't say that the podcast is brought to you by WinBet. And of course, you guys know that you have to pay the bills, keep the lights on. We'll do a commercial read for them in a little while. But I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite form of Dynasty? I mean, you know, I don't need to read out the whole laundry list of formats there are now. But if you were going to be the commissioner of a league and it was going to be an important league to you, how would you want to format it?
So I got the opportunity to do this with some good friends of mine right before the season started. And I was like, here's the format that I want. And so first of all, it was super flex. I rarely play in leagues anymore that are not super flex just because it makes the quarterback interesting again. In one QB leagues, it's whoever you drafted is probably going to be your starter. And that's just going to be it. And it's fine, but it's so much more interesting when you're looking at, okay, staring down the barrel of, do I take Derek Carr? Do I take Daniel Jones? Do I take Jared Goff? Like, who do I take here to try to get a second quarterback? And the trades are so much more interesting with the value and how people value Superflex.
Superflex is in 2021 has become like how PPR was a few years ago. It's like, I'm almost a snob if I hear someone's doing a one QB league at this point.
That's absolutely true. It's like, are you stuck in the Stone Ages? Like,
right. What?
Why would you play one QB? Like, I'd rather play zero QB. Like,
right. I would let you get back to the format, but it's like you're on the, obviously you peruse the Dynasty Nerds message board on Facebook, which by the way, is an amazing animal in itself. But anytime I see someone talk about their 10 team non-PPR one QB Dynasty League, I get so angry. I mean, you know, playful angry, but I get angry. Sure. And then I used to comment there, oh yeah, go get a real league. Now I realize like people have to take that journey and get the to that point. Steps. So I feel bad that if you scroll back, you'll find a lot of venom for me on those boards.
You know what? It is a really interesting place because it's beautiful because you'll get like hundreds of comments on
it anything is amazing.
You ask. But the tough part is like you have to have very thick skin if you're going to be there because you will get ripped to shreds on 80% of what you put out there.
And I think I'm one of the people guilty of ripping shreds now. But like I said, now that I understand and I'm trying to teach people Dynasty and grow the game, I have more. I do it with empathy. Okay. So you were describing your optimal ideal league that you think people should play. Superflex, we agree on that. Obviously PPR. Talk about the tight end setup that you like.
So I like to do a tiered PPR personally. And this is a little bit unique. I know that there are some people that do this, but what I like to have is I like to have a half point per catch for running backs. I like to have a full point per reception for wide receivers and then a point and a half for tight end. Cause I think it helps distribute the points out a little bit better and it helps give a more true, accurate picture of the value of some of these things, because a lot of the receptions, not all of them, but a lot of the receptions for these running backs are at behind or a yard or two beyond the line of scrimmage. They're not actually as valuable as most of the catches that these wide receivers are getting. And plus it really just makes the true three down back, their points are just ridiculously elevated over everybody else. So it kind of helps even that part out And then I think it gives a nice shift into wide receivers, and then tight ends obviously get the point and a half. So that's my preferred setup.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the tiered system. I'm in a few leagues like that. And what I found though is, again, I'm one of these guys that just does, like you guys, I do too many startups.
For sure.
How many are you in right now? How many total dynasty leagues are you in right now?
This is actually a better year than it was for me last year. I'm in 15 right now.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought. So
yeah, last year I was in the 20s. So I did a little better this year.
So wait a second, you cut down on your dynasty leagues?
I did cut down.
Wow, how did you do that? Because I want to get out of some of them, but I'm so afraid of the consequences and the shaming. So please give me a technique to get out of them.
So there were a couple leagues that I had joined early on, and it was actually a surprising amount that were IDP. And I just don't really know anything about IDP. I'm a Devy guy, so if anything, I tend to like float towards like the college football stuff. So that was a big out for me. So I was able to knock off three or four there of just like, I'm so sorry, I am not a Devy guy. Right. I had one that it self-imploded on its own, so I didn't have to do any work there. And then I had one more where I was like, hey, like, I think this was my third year in it. And it was really when I had first started doing Dynasty Nerds and really started getting into it. And I didn't know anybody then, and I still didn't know anybody in the league now. It was just, I was so thirsty for leagues early on. And so I was like, hey, like, yeah, sure, I'll be in it, blah, blah, blah. And I still didn't know anybody to this day. So I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to bow out. So I bowed out of, I think about six or so, and I only added one or two new ones. So, yeah, I think I'm at like 15. I might be up to 17. It's somewhere in there, 15 to 17.
Yeah, so this is a perfect this is the reason why you're here. You're not here for your health, Garrett Press. You're here to talk a little Dynasty Fantasy Football, but you're here to promote what I think is one of the best tools in all of Dynasty. It's the Dynasty GM. Why don't you give people the one-minute elevator pitch and tell them, because most people that are in Dynasty leagues are either just starting to get into Dynasty or they're in like 15, 30 leagues like me. Right?
There's no in between.
Right, there's no in between, because once you start, you always say, hey, I know I could do it better next time, and then you screw it up again. So tell people about the tool that you guys have over Dynasty Nerds.
Yeah, so we launched Dynasty GM a little over a year ago. And basically what our GM tool is it helps you, first of all, organize your leagues. If you're in a million leagues, that's one of the most difficult parts is chances are you have them on different platforms and they're all over the place. Help centralize all of them. And right there on the dashboard, right away, you can see what teams that we would say you're a contender in, what teams you're not, what teams you have good dynasty value in, which teams you don't. You can look right away and see, oh, this team has really good tight ends. And I have really good running backs. I need a tight end. Maybe I can make a deal there. There's so many things right at your fingertips. Trade calculator, player shares tools. You can look up similar trades that happened in different leagues. So you have I want to cut in for a second because
when you talk about trade calculator, that's a dirty word to a lot of dynasty players because the trade calculator is always the values are off. Your trade calculator actually works. It's pretty close. So you could tell someone's going over the numbers because you've seen just random someone's, like that dynasty trader that sends you the trade calculator with the trade that's obviously you're never going to accept, but shows you that you should accept it on this crazy cockamamie calculator. Right. No, your calculator works. I have tested it out a little bit.
I appreciate it. And, even though I do like our trade calculator and I think it's great, they're all going to be flawed. There's ways to game every single one of them. So take them with a grain of salt, but it's good to help you get a generic value of where players are roughly inside of all of this. So I think that's what they're good for. But yeah, on top of that, we also have different spaces for our film room and all that stuff. Hold on. I got my kid coming in again.
Yeah, that's all right. And what Garrett was talking about also is, and the reason we have Garrett Price from Dynasty Nerds on today is he is a film grinder. Now there's people that give dynasty advice and rookie advice that often, they're just, myself included, sometimes we're getting the consensus takes and then we're watching some film and then we're giving our own takes on it. But Garrett is one of the guys that I go to kind of check the temperature on because he's doing the rookie grind. You're a film grinder for better or for worse. Is that an accurate way to describe you?
Absolutely. Through and through. I'm a film grinder. It started with playing high school football and then college football. I got used to watching tape. I enjoyed it. And then when I got into the fantasy football space, I didn't do it as much. And then I kind of realized how good of a tool it could be to use that for college players and really evaluate them. And so along with the GM, if you have the full bundle, you can go into our film room. That might have been what you're talking about. But
yeah, I was talking about your film room specifically, where you can describe it, because I think it's an amazing tool for Dynasty.
Yeah, basically you can have the opportunity to say, like, okay, here's a player this year. I want to know about Zamir White out of Georgia. So you can hop on there. We have games. We have it categorized. Well, it'll tell you from what year it is, what team they're going against. Click it. You say, okay, I want to see him play Alabama in 2019. Click it. You go in there. It's 4 to 8 minutes at the absolute max, but it's only their play. So you're not having to watch the entire offense or the entire game. You can go in and specifically just watch the plays that they're in on and then move on to the next game. So it's really quick, really efficient, but it helps you be able to go and get a good feel for the talent level of these players, the abilities of these players, and what they can do for your Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Yeah, I think another mistake that Dynasty players and myself, we all make this mistake, is we want to do research on a player and we go watch their highlight film on YouTube. And of course, those all are going to be good plays. I mean, even someone like you guys, and I too liked Austin Watkins, right?
Yeah.
He had great plays but he can't make an NFL roster. He's sitting on a practice squad somewhere right now. And it's just, maybe he will
be
something.
He broke his foot.
Okay. So he went on IR. So he hurt himself.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying is that you can watch highlight tape of anybody and it could be great, but you know, you guys have that film room. So let's get a few of your Dynasty takes right now. Cause you know, I did title the podcast Risers and Fallers. You know, you have go SEO friendly content here, as you know, but you know, but first, I'm just going to do a quick read from our sponsor, WinBet. It's a mouthful, so bear with me. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer with you from RotoWire's new partner, WinBet. The premier digital casino and sports book app, WinBet, is now exclusive sponsor for all RotoWire Fantasy Sports podcasts. WinBet brings you the latest action with user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head over to the WinBet digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand in baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states while rapidly expanding at WinBet. The possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET, WinBet, the exclusive partner of RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. They better be paying a lot for that, because that is like half the podcast, that read. It's ridiculous. I got two more reads. I'm going to make you read one of them later and test you out here.
Okay? All right. Sounds good.
All right. Let's get some of your fantasy football takes. I'm a regular listener of your podcast, so I always like to hear what you guys are up to, and you should definitely go check out the Dynasty Nerds podcast. They have a free one every week, and then, of course, they have a premium one. If you join the Nerd Herd, it's just a handful of dollars, nothing that expensive. Christian McCaffrey. This is the first time he has been tradable in, you know, 4 years. You haven't been able to even make an offer on him, and, you know, of course, there's one league where he was, you know, mortgaged your house to get him, but
is this the
Todd Gurley moment when he's never going to retain his value again, in your opinion, or is this the time to just pay retail and go get him?
Yeah, I was much more concerned about Todd Gurley because those knees, they were slowly degrading. So far with McCaffrey, these injuries, the soft tissue stuff, yes, that can crop back up. We've seen that with guys like Dalvin Cook. But for the most part, I think he can still be dominant at 14, 15 games a season. And you're going to have to just know that there'll probably be a game where he pulls a hamstring and you're going to miss him for a week or two. But from all reports, he was actually back out there today. Might even have an opportunity to play this week, which is crazy. I mean, that just shows he's a freak of nature if he would be able to get back out there this week. So I do think that if you're a contender, this is your one – probably only buying window at this point to be able to actually get a guy like Christian McCaffrey on your dynasty roster. So I'm not overly concerned. Yes, he is a hair on the older side, because for running backs, after they get past 24, they're basically getting old, unfortunately. But that's kind of where we're at. So he is in the prime of his career right now. But I still think that he has another good 2, 3, 4 years left in him. He is so good in the receiving game. And I think that's the thing that really boosts him as well, is he's in an offense that's willing to throw the ball to him. He can do a lot with it. And this is only an ascending offense. They're getting better. The offensive line's playing better than they had in the past. And Joe Brady's there as their offensive coordinator for now. So I like everything I see there. I would be willing to buy Christian McCaffrey right now.
Isn't it crazy how ageist dynasty players are in the startup draft? It's the
I catch myself of it all the time.
It's the craziest thing. Like, you know, sometimes I'll go check out your rankings over, you know, at Dynasty Nerds. And, you know, because I checked the RotoWire. Our guy Mario has got amazing Dynasty rankings of RotoWire. I check it. I'd like to see what everybody's up to. Yeah. And, you know, the sharp Dynasty players like yourself, Mario, too, they put the Devontae Adams, those guys up at the top, because at the end of the day, those are the guys that are scoring points. You know,
it's so at the end of the day, you got to win games, man.
Yeah, you have to win games. And it's amazing how their different players' value changes at different times of the calendar. Like right now, you know, Henry Ruggs is, yeah, he's performed a little bit, but his value is you know, was nothing in the startup because he was bad, but three good performances. And all of a sudden, you know, a 22-year-old, you know, pedigree receiver, you know, people are fighting over him and actually trading him where he was an afterthought. It's just, it's pretty amazing. All right, your next question is, where were you on Tua? Were you on the process? I mean, were you high on him?
I definitely liked Tua. Yeah. I wouldn't say that I was like this huge Tua maniac or anything, but
you guys were Burrow. You guys were all Joe Burrow at that time.
We loved Joe Burrow, absolutely. Yeah. But I was at consensus. I definitely wasn't low on him. Now, where I was high on him actually was this offseason. I was higher on him this offseason than I was him as a rookie. So if anything, that's where I potentially went wrong.
You know what's funny is, I don't know if you're an old school basketball fan, but somebody called him Sam Bowie the other day. Do you remember Sam Bowie was the?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, they took Michael Jordan. Our colleague of ours, Scott Pianowski, made the reference of Yahoo. He said that, that Tua, because think about it, he was the injured player that was drafted ahead of the superstars. And there, he talked about an old Bobby Knight story, because Bobby Knight, I believe, coached the Olympic team. And the GM from Portland said to, should we draft, who should we take, Bowie or Michael Jordan, you know? And he goes, well, you should take Michael Jordan. He goes, but we need a center. And Bobby Knight says, so play Michael Jordan at center. you don't draft Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan. So, so it's Tua versus Herbert. I mean, this is going to be like a catastrophe here. I mean,
Justin Herbert's played incredible, and it's been really unfortunate so far with Tua, because everything was setting up, at least in my opinion, everything was setting up for him to have a successful season. Last year, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. He had the terrible hip injury. Then he was back and forth with Fitzpatrick. Then when he finally got the reins on the job, even though he played well against good teams like Kansas City, he had his entire receiving core depleted. He was having guys like Isaiah Ford and who's the running back that got traded from the Raiders? Lynn Bowden.
Yeah. It was bad. Yeah. But it hasn't looked good this year so far. So where are you at right now with Tua? Would you trade for him if you can get, like, in a super flex league? I've seen people offered like second round picks, which you can never get a young quarterback for. Would you take him for something that cheap?
Absolutely. I might even be willing to give a late first for him still.
Yeah.
He had two games and then he went out with a rib injury. We are so reactive to the beginning of the season, and I get it. I have a tendency to do that too. But let's remember, at the first two games last year, Justin Jefferson was terrible. You know, he wasn't any good. And then by week three, he burst onto the scene and he was amazing. Jonathan Taylor, the first eight games of the season, was nothing. And then the second half of the season, he was winning people titles. So let's give this guy a little bit of a longer leash. He still only started, 10 games in his career? It's been very low so far. Give him an opportunity to get things going. His receiver core has been banged up. He didn't have Will Fuller. And let's give some time for it to all come together. Now, I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't a little bit worried. You would love to see him come out and do what Burrow did, do what Herbert did. But I think
that ship has sailed, though. That ship, he's not going to be Justin Herbert. Yeah, he's not going to be Justin Herbert. Yeah.
No, not at all. But I think we have to more clump him in with what we're seeing this year out of the rookie class, where no one came off to this blazing hot start and going to take some lumps and take some time. I think that's where we're at with Tua. As long as he gets to keep the job and Deshaun Watson doesn't get traded for, I think that's the only thing that concerns me at all. But at this point, if you can give me a, you know, a guy that's under the age of 25 that still has the ceiling that he has, I'm willing to take that risk.
So on the opposite end in super flex leagues, a player who I'm fascinated with, and I basically rostered him in all of my leagues, and now I've traded him in some of the leagues, is Taylor Heinicke. Okay. Yeah. He's a fascinating player because we all liked him. We liked his game for fantasy football. Right. And now he's definitely the starter for the rest of this year. What would you handicap the odds of him being the starter for 2022, given Washington's probably not going to have a top 10 or 12 pick?
It's a really difficult one. And this is a great question that you pose, because this is something that, you know, Taylor Heinicke managers are having to deal with right now. We're talking about a guy that has started in three games. And in all three of those games, he's been a quarterback one. He was quarterback 10, quarterback 12. And then I think this past week, he was quarterback four, something crazy like that. I talked about him in a sneaky starts video I did on YouTube this past week. And I think he's becoming less sneaky now because he's just continuing to produce week after week. I'm still going to say it's a little too early to crown him the starter for 2022.
Give me a percentage. What percentage chance you think he'd be the starter?
I'm still at 50-50.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, because he's proven that he can make things happen. I mean, remember the playoff game against Tampa Bay last year, that he came out and he gave Tampa Bay the best game they had out of anybody in the playoffs last year. Yep. So the game is there, but they have zero invested in the kid. And that's always what's the tough part is money talks. You know, a guy like Tua that we were just talking about, they have a first-round pick invested in him, more money invested in him. He's going to have a little bit of a longer leash than a guy that they literally have nothing invested in. We kind of saw that with Gardner Minshew a year ago where right situation comes along, they'll dump him to the curb. So that's what's always scary about these undrafted, come-out-of-nowhere guys. But so far, I'm a believer in what I've seen, and he's making, you know, Terry McLaurin look good. So anybody that makes my boy F1 look good, I'm a fan of.
Yeah, it's funny, and I'm glad you mentioned Terry McLaurin. I know victory lapping, I think, is been so, like, it's so corny to do, but I think it's become so corny, shifted back to, like, it's in vogue again. So right. I like pointing out other people's victory laps. And I have to say, because when Terry McLaurin was a rookie and he was going in the third round of rookie drafts, you guys had him as, like, a first-round pick. And that's when I was like, these guys are out of their minds. And now, obviously, that's, I would say, one of the biggest Dynasty Nerd victories. There's many of them. Mike Williams with Matt.
Way back there.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys have had a laundry list as a squad, but Terry McLaurin is one of my favorite because you all really were in on him, and you guys were shocked that the rest of the Dynasty community had him as like a third round, late second. You know, no one had him even as a second round pick. So right. I like that you crazy. Said that. But the cheat code in real NFL is that you want to have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. This is like the opposite of that. You're having like a veteran quarterback on like a vet minimum contract. So I just actually traded in a super flex league. I traded Taylor Heinicke for someone that wanted to unload Miles Sanders, where Heinicke was like my third or fourth quarterback. So
nice.
It could work out. I mean, everyone thinks I got the raw end of the deal because like they're just seeing Heinicke's points. So if you're in a dynasty league, you agree though, like ride him or trade him for someone that you could never get normally.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm 100% with you.
Okay. Let's get to a few more takes here. I'm here with Garrett Price from the Dynasty Nerds. I'm Alan Soslowski. We're here on the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. And before we get to our next take, we'll just talk about our friends over at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There's a ton of big prize contests throughout the Yahoo season, including their multi-entry contest, which is now shark free. By the way, that's what Yahoo is pushing right now, Garrett. They're pushing that they're doing multi-entry and they have big contests. In the past, they only had smaller prize. So they're getting into bigger prize contests. Yeah. So it's shark free. And I'll tell you from a DFS perspective, I'm a guppy. I get swallowed up. So I'm going to go over there. Sure. Yeah, before the sharks get up there. But actually, before I finish the read, it's interesting that you can my friend Kevin O'Brien, who does the Fantasy Football Engineer Dynasty podcast, he talked about how he uses DFS pricing to see who he could pick up off the waiver wire in his Dynasty leagues to try to win week by week and kind of push his way into the playoffs if he's like a seven seed. Because you guys always talk about either you want to be at the top contending or at the bottom of the standings.
Right.
What's the strategy if you're in the middle of the standings and like the seventh best team? What do you do?
Yeah, I always try to push those teams right up into the trade deadline. I go up into the trade deadline, and then I kind of draw my line in the sand one way or another of, do I have some guys on IR that I think are going to be coming back during the playoffs that'll help give me a good push? Do I have some guys that are underperforming but have an easy schedule for the playoffs? Or am I just barely hanging on? I'm doing it with smoke and mirrors and, you know, replacement level running backs that might lose their job again in a few weeks and all that kind of stuff. So I try to really be, and that's one of the nice parts about the Dynasty GM tool is that can kind of give you a good glimpse of like, where are you really at? Are you the third best team talent wise, or are you the eighth best team talent wise? You know, because either way, you could find yourself right on the fringe. That's how fantasy football is. You'd be fluky there. So I try to make the decision as to whether I think I'm really truly a contender or not. And then I make my trades accordingly.
But it's so hard. I mean, trading, you know, you guys talk about it. And so, you know, the reason I started podcasting too is because I had questions for other podcasters. And, you know, we talk very liberally about like, hey, okay, just trade this guy for this pick and this guy. But trading is hard. Trading is hard. What happens when you cannot get the value? Like, okay, like let's use someone like Michael Thomas. Okay. Right? You know that he's probably worth, you know, a first round pick and more, right? But nobody wants to give you anything more than maybe you're lucky to get a first round pick. How do you handle, like, what's the strategy for trying to squeeze value out of a player that you want to sell when you're in a league that, you know, the trading isn't as liberal as some other other leagues?
Yeah, it's always difficult in leagues that don't trade as much because, and especially if you're somebody that is watching this, you've probably had some level of success because you're a hardcore guy, you're listening to experts and you're doing all these things. So you've probably won a trade or two over your league mates. And so they're probably a little bit more hesitant to trade with you and different things like that. I like to try to look for specific windows where trading is easier. I think two of the easiest windows for trading and where to maximize value are, one is at your rookie draft. I think that is an opportunity where you can get veterans the cheapest you're going to ever get them because everyone's excited about the rookie prospects. And every rookie is the next Tyreek Hill, the next Saquon Barkley.
It's so true.
You know, like right. Every rookie is. So that's a perfect time to trade your picks to get veteran players because that's when you're going to get the most value. Vice versa, at the trade deadline, most people are trying to push into the playoffs. So that's the best time to try to acquire picks. And so that's if I'm looking to get picks, that's when I'm really looking to make my trades is right at the deadline because all of a sudden, you know, nobody the entire time wanted Leonard Fournette. Nobody wanted to touch Leonard Fournette. I have three leagues where people have reached out to me about Leonard Fournette right now because we're getting closer to trade deadlines and running backs are starting to get hurt like Mixon and Montgomery and stuff like that. And all of a sudden people want to talk about Leonard Fournette. So I think it's just maximizing those windows and understanding where your team is. Are you a contender? If so, you need to really try to make moves at your rookie drafts to try to acquire veteran talent. Are you a team that is trying to get younger and rebuild? Trade deadline's perfect for you because you can all of a sudden, wow, I just got seven firsts for Leonard Fournette. I can't believe it. It's amazing. So those are my favorite times.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway from this podcast. I mean, that's going to be my clippable video right there is that's the actionable is finding the windows when to maximize value. And that seems obvious now that you're saying it, but I never thought of it. Like, of course it is, right? You want to, people are rookie hungry, so you trade your vets, and then they're vet hungry, so you get the picks. I mean, that is what I want you to take away when you're listening to this podcast is be patient. If you have Michael Thomas and you're not a contender, right? Wait till right at the deadline, right when he's coming back, right when he's had an 8-for-80 game, sell. You know, that's really smart. So I heard you talking about in your podcast, and this made me proud, and I was on your team. I'm about to talk about Davis Mills, just so you know.
All right.
So Davis Mills is the rookie quarterback who was drafted in the third round on the Houston Texans. He has not looked good. And you talked about how you thought he could be good. I thought he was going to sneak into the first round as like the 32nd pick. I thought, again, it was a long shot.
Sure.
But talk about what you saw on film from Davis Mills and why he's not as bad as his performance has been so far in the NFL.
Yeah, so I was watching his tape. One, I love seeing guys that have good pedigree. He was the top-rated pro-style quarterback in his class coming out, which I believe was the 2016 class or 17.
You're talking about high school class.
High school class, correct.
Right.
Yep, so he was the top-rated pro-style quarterback coming out, five-star guy, and he had flashes at Stanford where you saw man, this guy throws a nice ball. This guy can do some things. He's not a crazy good athlete, but he can move around the pocket. He's not a statue. So there was enough there that showed me that could he be a capable quarterback in the right offense, in the right scheme? Yeah, I thought so. Now, the hard part is there's not a quarterback that is going to succeed with the Houston Texans offense right now. Like, it's all bad there right now. And so that's the tricky part, and it's tough to get second chances, especially if you're not a first-round pick. So this is probably – he's probably just going to be a sacrificial lamb on the Houston Texans roster, and he'll be a really good backup for a long time, I think, for a lot of teams. But he's an accurate passer. He has a strong arm. He makes mostly good decisions. There were a few plays in college where like, what are you doing there, homie? But for the most part, he made some good decisions. Good leader, good size. There were a lot of things there that equated to potential NFL success. And then we started hearing the rumors that NFL teams were a little more interested in him, and that always kind of helps that as well.
Did he had two ACLs? Did I hear you guys say that one time? Did he have like two catastrophic knee injuries?
I'll have to go back and look, but that sounds
okay.
Right.
That okay.
Right.
So that probably is what pushed him down the board. But you know, it's funny. It's like, even a terrible QB like that, and I think he had like negative fantasy points in one of my leagues, and you know, yeah. But if you were to rank him, like if he was Davis Mills was to qualify, because I think your podcasting partner, Rich, he made a joke that he wouldn't even roster him, like, or he wouldn't even, right. You know, give.
But, Rich is an extremist.
Right. I mean, yes. And that's why, you know what, you guys are the voice of reason on that podcast. So, you know,
we have fun. It's a good yes. Balance.
Yes. And of course, you know, I have nothing but love for Rich. I've had him on this yeah, podcast absolutely. As well. But so if you were to rank Davis Mills with the running backs, I mean, even if he got you 12 fantasy points, which sounds horrible for a quarterback, that's still like RB16, you know? So that's right. Why in Superflex, there is value there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why Taylor Heinicke has value, because you never know when somebody's going to get hurt, and you need somebody that can step in that can be capable. And I think that's what Mills can be long term. I don't think he's going to be the Houston Texans' future. They're going to draft somebody else to be their starting quarterback long term. But he's going to still be on roster somewhere. And he's a guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick did it forever. Ryan Fitzpatrick always had value, because when he stepped in, he was a capable quarterback and he can get you 2, 3, 4 games. And in super flex leagues, you can never have too many quarterbacks. That's not a thing. You need as many as you can, because injuries happen or trade windows happen where somebody else's quarterback got hurt or somebody else's quarterback got benched, or, you know, they were trusting that Drew Lock was going to be the starter. And then oops, all of a sudden it was Teddy Bridgewater. And right. I need somebody to start 3 weeks until Justin Fields is ready to go. Those are those kind of windows where you can make those moves.
How come nobody believes in Dawson Knox, even though he's doing what tight ends do and breaking out in year three?
Yeah, Dawson Knox is a fascinating case. I think part of it is his target share has been relatively low. And so I think that's why people are wondering if it's fluky. Is he able to do this? But he was a very good prospect coming out of Ole Miss. He was a guy that had converted from quarterback to tight end, which we're starting to see that even more and more lately. Guys like Logan Thomas is another one that had converted. But it takes time to develop into a tight end. You're learning both offensive line stuff and wide receiver stuff. And it's a lot to take. He did it at Ole Miss with, you know, AJ Brown and DK Metcalf. He was there at the same time as those guys. Crazy. Gets here. So if I had to guess, I would say the reasoning is because I think they're worried about the target share. But long-term, we are starting to see some of those things that flashed as a rookie and a second-year player, where he would make a play or two that you're like, oh man, nice play, Dawson Knox. But then you just wouldn't see anything for 3 more weeks. And, you know, that's tough. We are starting to see it more consistently. If he can up that target share and if he can be a more consistent focal point in this offense, I think people will be a little more enthused. The tough part is so far Diggs hasn't had his big games. And I think people are waiting for Diggs to all of a sudden take over.
Yeah, it's Dawson Knox. I don't know if you guys said it, or I listen to, so you know, I try to consume as much fantasy football content as I can, and I'm just regurgitating. Someone said that, and if this was you guys, let me know that Dawson Knox could have that Robert Tonyan type of season. He could have that sure, season that where he has. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's a really great comparison. It's so funny, you know, like I said, we're so into this that I try to credit the right people when they say something really smart like that. So apologies if you're listening to this podcast, anyone, and you said it too, we'll try to credit you. All right. What is your first nostalgic memory of football? You said you played high school football and college too. Where'd you play college football, by the way?
Malone University. It's a Division II school in, it's still there, but the football program unfortunately closed with Ashton Doolin, who's
I remember Ashton Doolin.
Yeah, yep. So he's a wide receiver for the Colts. We have coined him as the last pioneer because his class they stopped the football program right after him.
What position did you play?
So in college, I played outside linebacker.
Okay, cool. So you got to hit people. That was great. That's
absolutely that, high nice. School was fun because I got to play both sides of the ball. So I got to do running. I was a tight end my junior year, and then a running back my senior year, and then obviously on defense I played backer as well. So high school was the most fun because
isn't it funny that like in high school you play Iron Man football? It's just like what you do. Oh, yeah. You go to like yeah. So
you
what
play
is your
special teams too? And you're doing it all.
You don't come off the field. You're like, okay, can I not be on the return team also?
Right.
You
know, right. Exactly.
So what is your first nostalgic memory? Like, was it a video game? Was there a game that you saw on TV? What was the thing that made you like fall in love with football? What was that magnetic moment that connected you?
So it's funny. I remember watching my dad watch football on TV, and like he would just get so excited about it. And I would see the guys running and tackling each other. And so I would take my football, and I was probably 4 or 5 years old. Take my football, I would go outside and I would reenact what I saw out there by myself. So my mom, I don't know if she ever got video of it or not. I'll have to ask her. But I would literally play like all the positions at the same time. So I'd be like running, and then I would like tackle myself, and then like, you know, all this stuff. And like, just I think the physicality, I was always a very physical kid. Like I was the kid that like, you know, was playing baseball and like wanted to like truck the catcher and like that kind of stuff. So I played roller hockey for a couple years, and like I got in trouble because it was always at like roller skating rinks. And so like, I'd like flip people over like the railing.
You weren't allowed to do that. The skating rinks. If you like, even like just bumped up against someone, you have those guards that come over that skate backwards, and they have the shirt on. They blow the whistle. Remember that?
Yeah. I got in big trouble.
Yeah.
So I was always very physical. So when I figured out an outlet where I could actually like do all of that, I was like, this is incredible. So, but yeah, I think it went all the way back to just being like 4 or 5 years old.
What's your favorite part about working in fantasy football? Do you love the article writing? Do you love the podcasting? Do you love giving start set advice on Twitter? Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. What's your favorite part of fantasy football?
That's a really good question. I would probably say podcasting. I do love, you know, the opportunity to be able to talk out points and things like that. But more than anything, I probably just enjoy the different circles that I've gotten to run in and the different people that I've gotten to talk to or rub shoulders with, or, you know, opportunities at like the Senior Bowl or the combine or different things like that. Just seeing things, talking to people that otherwise outside of this arena, I wouldn't get to. And it's just, you know, cool things that I see on TV or cool podcasts that I listen to. And the opportunity to be able to interact with all of these people is probably the most enjoyable part for me.
Before you started doing how long has the Dynasty Nerds been around for? I mean, I became aware of you guys maybe 4 years ago. And, you know, I know you'd been around longer than that, but somebody had recommended it. And then I started listening. Obviously, once you listen, you can't help but be hooked by, well, you guys know what you're talking about and you make it entertaining too. I think you're one of the best out there. But how long have you guys been around for?
So Dynasty Nerds started in, I believe it was 2014. Was when Rich and Matt, and there was another guy named Mike that was part of the podcast. And depending on the week, it was usually either Rich and Matt or Rich and Mike. It wasn't both of them because it was just a small little startup, and they were just trying to make it work. And they did that for about 2-3 years. And then they had a year and a half or so where they didn't have a third host. It was just the two of them. And then I stepped in.
Well, how did you meet them? How did you connect with them?
So basically it was better to be lucky than good kind of situation. To be honest, I had heard on their podcast that they were looking for a few more writers, And by no means was I a professional writer, but, you know, I had a college degree and I felt like I could construct at least semi-proper sentences. So I was like, I'll try this. And I had actually been doing that for my home league anyway. I was doing little like articles, trash talking more or less about the different guys each week and who to start and, you know, different things like that. And my one buddy came up to me and he's like, hey, Garrett, like those articles you do for our league, like they're pretty cool. Maybe you should like do them for people that care. And I was like, thank you.
Right. I don't know. Thank you for the backhanded compliment. But yeah, no, it's amazing. Like that's how it starts. Like people start telling you, they're like, hey, this is good. And you're like, you don't really take it seriously because you're just writing because you love it. It's exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like I was a caller to the RotoWire fantasy football show on SiriusXM. I was just like guy that called into the show. And then I started doing videos for them. So it's just amazing how it happens. And by the way, whoever the Dynasty Nerd Mike is, he's probably sick to his stomach because now you guys are propelling the Dynasty game up. And he's like, oh, that could have been me. That could have been me. And
funny. Rich and I were talking about that last night. And it's this timing of all this is hilarious. We were literally talking about this last night, and Rich was like, I remember when, you know, we were talking about this, and you know, we told him like you would get a cut, and he was like, we might even be able at some point, I don't know, but at some point we might even be able to give you like $200 a month, which is like really funny now.
Right.
You know, because how much it's grown and blown up. And,
yes.
And even then he was like, I don't know, man. And like I guess Matt was in the background like, promised him $200 a month. We can't afford $200 a month. Like, you know, because Matt's the accountant. He takes care of all of the numbers and all of that kind of
stuff. He sounds like an accountant he's got the radio voice. He sounds like an accountant. But it's funny. It's like that's that Steve Jobs in the garage moment, right? Where you're like, you never know what it's going to be into. And you know what? You never know. It's like one day Dynasty Nerds could be an ESPN. You just don't know what it could all evolve into. And I think that's a great lesson for anyone with your Dynasty team too. Your crappy team that's, you know, you're pieced together can be a champion tomorrow, wouldn't you say?
Know.
That's right. So we'll get you out of here soon. I just had one other question for you is that, you know what? Given the promotion, you can find him at Dynasty Price. That's your Twitter handle, right? Yep. Garrett's one of my favorite followers, puts out great information, especially starting in February. Like he's good all year, but you want to follow Garrett Price in February for the offseason. You will pick up tidbits that you didn't even think you knew that are actionable pieces of information before the rest of your league knows and becomes mainstream information. He'll tell you about Antonio Gibson before he becomes a hype player at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago. Who was your favorite player that you're like, you kind of knew the band before they blew up guy this year? Who was it for you this year, Garrett?
That's a good question.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know 2 years ago, I had been talking about James Robinson quite
yes,
a bit.
Yes.
I remember him. I was like, there's this guy at Illinois State. He looks pretty good. They call him Little Leonard Fournette. He's got some pop. And then he didn't get an invite to the Senior Bowl, but the Shrine Bowl. And I was like, he played well in the Shrine Bowl now, too. We got to see him against, you know, non-1AA competition.
What was it about him? What was it about him that made you, like, take notice?
I wish I would have even taken more notice.
Right.
Because, you know, even though I have him in, you know, half or so of my leagues, like, I could have had him in all of my leagues had I really taken it more serious. But he had really, really good vision. And that's something that translates well is if you can pick up your blocking scheme, if you can process information quickly. And my friend Nick Whalen says this all the time, and I love the phrasing of it. If you can be a problem solver, if you can be a guy that solves problems ahead of time, you have a chance to be successful. And that was something that he wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the most elusive. But he did everything else really, really well. And I think that's what's caused him to be so successful.
Yeah. Now he's like the ultimate, he's like a real NFL professional running back. I think he's going to have a long career.
Absolutely.
He may have gone, and I put lucky in air quotes that Travis Etienne is out of the way, but I don't think he was going to interfere with Travis Etienne's workload anyway. They were going to find a different type of role.
I think so
Travis
too.
Etienne. Yeah. Let me just do one more read and then we'll do the plug. So we also have Thrive Fantasy. You guys have Thrive.
Your podcast. We're fans of Thrive.
Yeah. They're a prop betting podcast. They're a prop betting website. I play over there. They have really good games. And they said Thrive is back for another fantasy football season. They're running a huge guaranteed contest each week in the NFL with Thrive Fantasy. You can eliminate countless hours of research and focus only on the top tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today. Get 6 free months of RotoWire subscription. Here's how you do it. You visit rotowire.com/thrive, deposit a minimum of $10, receive 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Does this sound familiar? You guys had to read this raid last night.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, except, but you know, they really are good. That's my point here. And that's why that you guys endorse them. We endorse them. Definitely go over it. And I love prop betting. It's my favorite form of sports betting. All right. So they're going to go follow you at Fantasy Price. You're going to follow the Dynasty Nerds on Twitter. And then anything else you want to plug? We talked about Dynasty GM. How do they do all that? How do they find Dynasty GM and all your premium services?
Yeah, if you just go to dynastynerds.com, you can head to the website. There'll be a pop-up that pops up right away asking if you want to be part of the Nerd Herd. And the Nerd Herd is our premium subscription. You can do just the GM stuff, which is going to be the tools for analyzing your team, Trade Finder. It'll show you how many player shares you have. Like, you know, my highest owned one, if you've been following me for a while, it's probably not a surprise, is Darius Slayton. He's my most owned. My second most owned is
that was one of the guys you identified before the BAM was cool. That was another one of your guys. He was a fifth round rookie pick when you were endorsing him.
It was crazy how it all worked out. It was funny. I actually found a tweet the other day that I had tweeted out about three players that were like under the radar Devy guys. So all these guys were still in college, might not have even declared yet, like all that kind of stuff. They're all under the radar. And three of the four were James Robinson, Michael Carter, and Kenneth Gainwell. And so it's just crazy to see, like, I was like, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, folks. Like,
yeah, well,
there's no way that could have worked out better.
If you keep getting lucky, at some point you're good. But it's interesting. As my dynasty advice acumen has gotten better and I'm giving people better advice and you just process my actual leagues, I'm doing worse in my leagues. Because one, you're not focused on your leagues as much.
True.
Also, you know, the dynasty community is getting smarter. So you really, there's no sleepers anymore. You know, it's like, there's no such thing. Man. So, but there kind of is in February dynasty leagues. That's why I love doing my rookie drafts early, right after the rookie.
That's the best time to get the sleepers.
Yes. Because you could still get Kenneth Gainwell in the end of round three. I mean, if we redrafted it today, he's on the 1-2 turn. He's going ahead of Trey Sermon in most rookie drafts.
And maybe even Michael Carter. It would be close.
Yeah, I absolutely agree right there. All right, we kept you long enough. I hope you come back again.
Absolutely. I had a great time.
Yeah, I was looking forward to meeting you for a long time. You're one of my favorite Dynasty files. I absolutely recommend everybody go over and check it out over there. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm with Garrett Price and the Dynasty Nerds. I'm Alan Seslowski. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.